Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Let's bow our heads as we come to God's word this morning. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Lord, would you speak your words of truth, your words of life, your words of renewal, and your words of love to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to be seated. Very good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be back. As some of you know, I've been away for 2 weeks in the UK on some leave. Had a wonderful time there. Spent time with family, but good to be back. Good to be home. My home is now Singapore, and you know, where you build home is where your home is, isn't it? This is where we now belong, and belonging is very important. So this is now the home where we belong. Nevertheless, the hardest thing about doing ministry overseas is being away from your family. And of course, I do miss them very, very much. Family matters, doesn't it? And I'll come back to that a little bit later. The text that the Lord put on my heart for this morning, we had read from Isaiah chapter 43. Before my leave, if you remember, we were coming to the end of our sermon series in the book of Nehemiah. And there we'd been challenged to work together on building the kingdom of God and building the church. And we'd been thinking very much about working hand in hand together, of being dedicated to God, of being committed to Him and His purposes. And through that, if you remember, I was quite often drawing us back to how the prophets spoke to the people of God at that time, and particularly in a time when they were in what was called the exile. And this Isaiah 43, which is one of those exilic texts that I want to come back to and to focus in, because it is one of the key words that God was speaking to his people at the time, and a word that he speaks to us still today. And there's a fundamental truth in this for us to grasp. Before anything else, we need to understand that we belong to God. It's my key thought for today. And this is the very heart of the passage from Isaiah 43. As I said, Isaiah is speaking to the people of God who are in exile. If you remember, they'd been taken out of their land by a foreign power, by the Babylonians, into exile, into captivity. And they were feeling lost and forlorn and without a home. And was this now their lot? Was this their future? They were wondering, and they were crying out through the Psalms. They were doing that as well. Were they God's forgotten people? Were they a lost people? What had happened? And Isaiah says this in 43, or God says this through Isaiah. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I have called you by name. You are mine. Time and time again, God throughout the scriptures reminds his people of this truth, this essential, fundamental truth that we need to hear again today. A very simple but fundamental message. God does this in chapter 44, just the next chapter of Isaiah. Eugene Peterson translates this very beautifully in his translation, The Message. It says this, "But for now, dear servant Jacob, listen. Yes, you, Israel, my personal choice. God who made you has something to say to you. The God who formed you in your mother's womb wants to help you." God says the same thing to us, his people, this day. We can personalize this, you see. We can add our name into it. The words are up on the screen. So add your name in when I read it through, and add my name in. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Peter. You can put your name there. He who formed you, O Peter. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. We belong to God. I belong to God. You belong to God. We belong to God. And because of that, Isaiah goes on in verse 4 and he says this. He says, you are precious and honored in my sight. And why is that? Well, the Lord goes on to say that. He says, because I love you. You see, it's because God loves us. It is as simple as that. He loves you because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Have you got it? He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. We are precious. You are precious. You need to hear that word. We need to take that on board. It is so easy for us sometimes to believe that God loves somebody else. That holy person, that righteous person, that worthy person, we might think. It's far more difficult sometimes to believe that God loves me. But God loves each one of us. It is so simple, but it is so true. God chose you. God made you. God fashioned you. And you belong to him. You are his. Later on, chapter 49 of Isaiah, this is emphasized yet again. We read how the people of God say, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And then the Lord says this to them so beautifully and tenderly. He says this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, and you can't imagine that, but though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. This is Old Testament language for God has got your photo in his wallet. Or be more modern, his screensaver on his smartphone has got your photo on it. It's a picture of my boys. Photo I had taken just before we came away to the mission field 10 years ago, one of my most favorite photos. The God of the universe says to us, you are mine. I created you. I named you. I have called you to myself. And you see, this is where we find our true identity. As people, as human beings. Another picture, of my passport, because I've just been through a whole number of airports. And to get through airports, what do we need? We need proof of our identity, don't we? We need to be able to show who we say we are, that there's on our ticket. And so we use our passport. I love Singapore airport because I can just put my passport into a reader, and because I have a pass I put my thumbprint down and it opens up, and no queuing, easy peasy. I love it. Have you ever seen the film or read the books, The Bourne Identity? Have you? I'm sure most of you have. I love these books. Well, if you don't know, the story is all about Jason Bourne. And he is a tough special agent. And he's been brainwashed. And he's now trained as a deadly assassin. The most deadly assassin in the whole of the world. His identity was changed to be somebody else. And one of the storylines has him going through a box where he's got all sorts of passports. So he has multiple identities as he travels around the world. And the whole storyline of this series is that he's seeking to find his true identity. Because he's not really Jason Bourne. Who he is David Webb. He's not a bad guy, he's a good guy. passports and ID cards. They tell other people that we are who we say we are. They identify us as persons. They show our face. But they do not identify who we really are. Our true identity is this. We are made in the image of God, and He has chosen us, and He loves us. That is our identity, beloved and precious. As I said earlier, I've just returned from my leave, lots of time with my family, and while I was there with this text on my heart, I was reminded very much of a story that I shared at our church camp, which was in June. And this illustrates the point I want to make today really well. So I'm going to share it with you again. Some of you will have heard this story, but not many of you. Most of you will not know this story at all. But it's the story of the birth of my mother. So I want to tell you that story. So this is a picture of my mum. It's the oldest picture I have of my mum as a little child. And the next one, please. That's my mum with her mum, my nana. Don't know what you call your grandparents. This was my nana at the beach. And then there's next one. That's my mum as a teenager. Isn't she beautiful? Her name is Doreen. My mum and dad have died in the last 5 years. So a lot of people ask me about my mum and dad because I'm always telling stories of my family. But I've lost my mum and dad in the last five years while I've been away. But my mum's named Doreen. But my dad always called her Liz. And he called her Liz for two reasons. First of all, she's beautiful, and she looked like Elizabeth Taylor. So if you know Elizabeth Taylor, then my dad said that. She also looks like Queen Elizabeth when Queen Elizabeth was young. So my dad always called her Liz. Next picture, please. It says my parents at their weddings. On the left is my father's parents, my Cook family grandparents. And on the right is my mum's parents, my grandparents, the Sadler family. Can you remember I've told you before but that our names in England? So my name is Cook. That means that in the village that I was originally from, or my family would have been the Cooks. So Sadler, you can guess what they did? Made saddles for horses. So they were saddlers. Anyway, next picture, please. Here is my mum and dad at their wedding door. And next picture, there's another handsome couple there. I don't know if you recognize them. That's when I had a 70s hairstyle. And my beautiful wife. And the next picture. And there is my grandfather, granddad with my mum, and he's doing one of the things that most fathers is the proudest time of their lives when they bring their daughter to their wedding. And then the next picture, that's my nana and granddad at about the time that my mum was born. Now, I only know bits about my grandparents. One thing I know about my granddad was that he did three things. He was in the army at the end of the First World War. He came back from Burma with shrapnel in his head and with malaria, and he was often very sick. Then when I knew him, as another picture, he was an innkeeper. So when I was a little boy, that's where I used to spend some time. I'm still there, the Dog Inn. He owned that pub, that Dog Inn. But before that, after he come back from war and before that, he was a coal merchant. He used to have a really bad cough because he had coal dust on his lungs. So coal, you don't see a lot of coal in Singapore. You don't really need coal in Singapore. But in England, if you show the next slide, we needed coal a lot because it was coal. Next slide, please. That keeps us warm and that we used to cook with. So coming to the point of the story, Granddad was the coal merchant. To get the coal to your house, you needed coal delivery men. So there's another picture. Delivered coal in big sacks. The coal man, who was the delivery man for my granddad, had 9 children. He was very, very poor, and he also had an alcohol problem. And then his wife got pregnant. And my granddad and always used to say to him, if you ever have a spare child, I will have it. Because you see, my nana and granddad could not have their own children. The coal delivery man got pregnant, the wife got pregnant. And literally within a few days, he turned up at my nana and granddad's door because his wife died giving birth to my mum. And about 4 days later, he knocked on my nana and granddad's door with the little baby. Show the picture of the baby. And said, you asked for a child, here is the child. That was my mum. So my nana and granddad took the child in, adopted it as their own, and loved it as their own. That's how my mum came to know her parents. So my mum loved her parents very much indeed. They loved her just as if she was their own, of course. I knew my mum loved her parents very much because I watched it through my young life. I was quite young when my grandparents died, but I watched my mum care for my parents. My nana actually ended up with mental health problems and was institutionalized, used to visit all the time. My grandfather ended up with a collapsed lung and needed a lot of caring for, and I watched my mum love her parents. My mum always told me this. She considered it something very special to be adopted, to be an adopted child. And this is how we belong to God. This is the reason I'm telling you this story. God adopts his children. He adopts us as his sons and his daughters. Someone once put it this way, God chose us out of the orphanage of the world and rescued us. And that's what my nana and granddad did for my mum. It's amazing, isn't it, that God wants to have us as part of his family. And he planned this before the beginning of the world, Scripture tells us. So Ephesians chapter 2, this is the Message translation. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And then it says what pleasure he had in planning this. God longs for everyone in the human family to know him as their loving Heavenly Father, and he wants us to know that too. And we know that by asking Jesus to be Lord of our lives. We give our hearts to him, and then God the Father makes us his children. It's what Jesus calls being born again. St. Paul put it this way, Romans 8, God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. You see, this is our true identity. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. And again, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, you can tell that you are now fully adopted as his own children because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. There is no greater privilege. There is no greater wonder than to know God as our Father, to know that he has called us by name, to know that we belong to him, to know that we have been chosen and that we are precious. And this is our true identity. We are children of the Heavenly Father. So our identity is not found in our nationality. Our identity is not found in our ethnic origins. Our identity is not found in our gender. Our identity is not found in our sexuality. Our identity is not found in our family, in our spouse, in our children, or our lack of spouse, or our lack of children. Our identity does not come from our work. It does not come from getting that top position or passing that appraisal or impressing the boss or the vicar or the bishop. Our true identity does not come from our school reports, getting top marks in an exam. Success or failure, achievement or disappointment does not and can never define who we are. Our true identity does not come from our ministry. It does not come from growing a big church. It does not come from seeing conversions. It does not come from pioneering ministries. Our true identity can never come from what we do. It can only come from who we are. And we are children of the Heavenly Father. And this is the motivation for our living. Our security is that we are engraved in the palm of His hand, and He will never, ever forget us, forsake us, or leave us. And our motivation is to be like our brother Jesus and to bring pleasure to our Father. That is where we find our fulfillment. That is our purpose for our human living. So may each of us learn to live more deeply and to more freely live in this truth. I just want to take a moment for us to receive this word this morning. So I just want to invite you to bow your heads as we pray, and we're not going to rush. Just going to do it slightly different this morning as we allow God's word to speak into our hearts and for the Holy Spirit to do His work within us this morning. So let me invite you just to still yourselves, open your hearts to receive God's word to you this morning. And let me read you again what we've heard, and for you to put your name in the place of this. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, He who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So Holy Spirit, would you come now and minister your words of truth to your children here today? Holy Spirit, would you come and pour out your fatherly love, your perfect love that casts out all fear? Lord, would you bring to each one here the new life of your Spirit? The Spirit that wants to speak with our spirit that we are indeed children, that God is our Abba, our Papa, our Daddy. Holy Spirit, would you bring healing to hearts and minds that have been damaged in the past and find it hard to receive your fatherly love and care? And Lord, for those who find it so hard to receive the words, the Father loves you. Lord, would you speak your word of truth to each one of us, that we are chosen, that we are precious, that we are beloved children. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of our service, we always have a time of prayer, an opportunity for response. So just at this point, I want to make the invitation that you can always come forward at the end of the service. You might want to find the life of Christ today. Come forward and find out more. You might want to have some ministry. Please take the opportunity. So there's that invitation. So we're going to do a response a little bit differently this morning, because our response is going to say a little bit more about the story of my mum to lead us into the peace. So we're not going to be having the Nicene Creed as our response today, but we're going to have our peace, and then we'll follow that with notices and our intercessions. You see, if we belong to God, and if we all belong to God, then we belong to one another. And in fact, we all belong to the family of God. Therefore, we are family together. So my mum was adopted, but she grew up not knowing that she was adopted. She actually found out she was adopted only about a week before she got married, because my granddad had to give her a birth certificate, and a birth certificate got a different name on it. Gasson, not Sadler. They'd kept it quiet like they did in those days, all of those years. So my mum grew up thinking she was an only child. But then an amazing thing happened about 50 years later. So my mum is 60 plus. My mum was walking along the road in our hometown one day, and she felt somebody was following her. She turned around, there was a lady following her. The lady came up to her and said, "I'm really sorry, but I need to tell you this, I am your sister." And she said, "I also need to tell you, you've got 7 brothers and sisters, and we all live in this area, and we've always known you've been here, and we've never ever told you." So my mum at age 60 suddenly found she'd got a whole new family, a whole new number of people to love and to love her. It was quite a shock, but there she was with a whole new family. God's family is full of brothers and sisters that our Heavenly Father wants us to get to know, to love, and to be loved by. Some are easy to love, some are not so easy to love. But God wants us to learn to love our brothers and sisters. We're part of a huge family of God in the cathedral and our quite large congregations. It can be hard to get to know one another, but we're family, and God wants us to know each other as family. So I want us to pass the peace. I often, when I say pass the peace, I remind us that we're the family of God, because that's what we are. And so I'm going to use some different words for the peace today as we pass the peace together. So let me invite you to stand. The words are not on the screen, just listen to me. The Father makes us one family in Christ. We belong to Him through faith. We are heirs of the promise of the Spirit's peace. So, brothers and sisters, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's offer one another to our sign of peace to our brothers and sisters.